Good evening. Greetings in Jesus' name. I'm happy to be here tonight, happy to gather with a bunch of fellow believers. I'm thankful tonight for Jesus. I'm thankful for the Word of God that we have to share tonight. And tonight I'd appreciate your prayers as we look at the subject of developing personal vision. Say right off, I feel like I'm speaking to myself. We're talking about personal vision tonight. As we sang that song, Lord, give us a vision. As we thought about what we were singing, I think that's what I need. And I believe each one of us, if we want to remain faithful to the end, need to pray that prayer. Lord, give me a vision. I'm thinking of a verse for an opening verse, Proverbs 29:18. Familiar verse to you. Probably a lot of you know that by memory. This is, where there is no vision, the people perish. Tonight, where there is no vision, where there is no personal vision, death results. It's a very simple verse, and yet too often maybe I don't think about it enough. Well, this is just kind of life, and I'm making my way through it. What will happen will happen. It's an easy approach to take to life. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Tonight, if there's no vision in your life, you will perish spiritually. Tonight, if there's no vision in your life as a leader, whether that's a church leader, a parent, school teacher, there will also be death in those following you. And that's my prayer tonight, that as we look at the Word of God, we would just get that desire again to renew our vision and to keep following after, keep maybe strengthening the vision that we already have. I believe tonight, speaking to a bunch of people that have a vision, and I'm thankful for that privilege tonight. And my prayer is that our vision would be strengthened. I saw a sign a while ago that said, the greatest tragedy is sight without vision. I thought about that a little bit. And I'm still not quite sure what they were trying to say. Was it a vehicle dealership? I didn't piece that all together in my head, but I did think about that saying quite a bit. The greatest tragedy is sight without vision. So is it possible tonight that we have sight, we can see, but we don't have vision? I think it is. You know, when we think about vision, in my mind anyway, think about vision, we think of seeing a long ways out. I asked my congregation at home what they thought of when they thought of the word vision, when they thought of this title I was asked to share on, and the thought of goals came up very quickly. The thought of looking ahead. Definition I came across, the ability to anticipate and make provision for future events, foresight, being able to see more than just the present. Another thought that came up that really challenged me is sight is seeing needs. Vision is doing something about it, is the ability to make a plan how to help those needs in my life and how to glorify God. And I think this is the definition I really appreciated the most. I think about vision, seeing the future as God sees it. Seems like maybe a very simple definition, but I think tonight, if we can keep that clear in our minds, that we want to see things in the future, in the present and in the future, the way God sees them, we have developed a vision that will help us through and will help those we are endeavoring to to lead in the right way. You know, thinking about vision, had an employee for a while this summer. Nice young man in a lot of ways. And I just had to think about him, and I thought about this thing about developing personal vision. He's a very personable young man. But vision was possibly lacking a little bit in his life in relation to his job, in relation to maybe a lot of things. But the work we do, we start early, we put in long days. And so I asked him to be at work at 4 o'clock so he could get done in good time. And he really, really struggled with that. He saw, I think he was one of these individuals that had sight without a lot of vision. He saw he would like to be done at the end of the day so he could go do what he wanted to do. But he didn't have the vision that if he only came to work at 4:45 instead of at 4 o'clock, those 45 minutes were going to have to be made up somewhere. He didn't have the vision then when he was loading his truck to get ready for the day. He didn't have the vision to organize his truck properly so that he wouldn't be looking for stuff all day. All he saw was that now he was 45 minutes late and he needed to get out of there and be gone. And that's kind of how it went. He was usually a lot more than 45 minutes late end of the day because of a lack of vision. So that's not saying anything negative about him. I liked him, but it did end up not working out. Where there is no vision, the people perish. He didn't perish literally, but his job did. In my life, in your life, how often do I approach my Christian life that way? I like the idea of being with God throughout all eternity. I like the idea of calling myself a Christian. But am I willing to make choices right now that maybe aren't always easy? But because I have a vision of what God wants for me, because I have a vision of spending eternity with God, I'm willing to make choices that are hard. When it's easier to stay in bed for an extra half hour, I'll get up and do something. When it's easier to do what self wants to do, I'm willing to crucify it in order to serve God. Do I have that vision? A couple verses here, thinking about the thought of vision, what we're talking about here. 2 Kings 6. Verse 15, story of Elisha and his servant here as they were surrounded by the army, Syrian army, I believe. And the servant here in this story, I guess we're going to say he had some sight, but he didn't have a lot of vision. And I was just challenged as I read these couple verses. 2 Kings 6, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God was risen early, gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Well, maybe just stop there. What do I think about this thing of developing personal vision? This servant here, he saw the situation. It looks hopeless. There's no future here. None. We're surrounded. There is absolutely no future. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way in your life. I have. Sometimes, Elisha prayed, and his eyes were opened. And all of a sudden, there was a clear path. There was hope, and there was a future. And that's what I'm happy tonight to share. Well, I'm happy to share about the subject tonight. There is a future. When we catch that vision, when we see things the way God sees them, what looks like a hopeless situation in my life, in the life of those I'm trying to help possibly. God doesn't see it that way. There's more than enough provisions here, the way it sounds from this story. And do I have that vision? That God has more than enough provisions to help me through whatever I'm facing. To help me through whatever is going to come my way in the future. And I'm thankful tonight that I serve a God that makes it possible to have hope in the future. Another couple of verses here thinking about vision. Jesus' example, and he is here on earth. John 4, verse 35. Still on this thought of seeing things the way God sees them. Seeing things the way Jesus would see them. Just pick one verse out here. John 4, 35. It says, "Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And another one in Luke 13. It's also Jesus speaking here. Luke 13, verse 34. "So Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not." Think about seeing things the way God sees them. Having this vision. You know, Jesus could have said, "What's with these people? They are down and out. They don't appreciate the help God has sent them. They're killing them. They're getting rid of them." You know, instead of seeing this field white to harvest, he could have said, "Well, they're a bunch of, you know, sinners." Today's language, maybe drug addicts, maybe whatever. But Jesus saw souls. Jesus saw people that his Father had created. And he cared about them deeply. And the thought I wanted to bring out is what we humanly see right off is not the true picture. And Jesus saw much, much deeper than that. He didn't just see these murderers that had killed the prophets. He didn't just see these down and out people that were rejecting him and his message. He saw souls, people that he wanted to draw to God. Tonight, if all we can see in our own lives and in the lives of the people around us is just surface, just what we see when what meets our eye, I think we'd say we have sight without a lot of vision. And we see people's souls. We see people heading for the same eternity we're heading. And we start seeing people the way God sees them. Granted, it is with our human vision, our human sight. And yet we ask God to give us that vision. Then I believe we have a vision where we can be what God wants us to be and bring glory to his name, and also where we can be a help to those around us. May that be where we find ourselves. Thinking a bit about the thought of a personal vision. I'm assuming tonight, maybe I'll just ask you for a raise of hands. How many of you here tonight, how do I word this? I was going to say are second or third generation Christians, and we know there's not such a thing. But that what you know about the Bible, your values were taught to you by your parents, possibly grandparents. How many? I'd just like to see a raise of hands. The majority. By far the majority. That's what I was assuming. And I think about developing personal vision. I'm thankful tonight for what my parents taught me. Very, very thankful. But because of what they taught me, I feel it's easy for me to, in a way, maybe miss out a bit on this personal part. You know, other people's great vision does not create vision in my life. And tonight I'm not saying you know, there's some teaching out there that, well, we need to kind of reinvent the whole wheel, and we'll throw out everything that our parents taught so that we have this personal belief. I'm not saying that at all tonight. I'm very, very thankful for what our parents, grandparents, whatever have taught us. But unless we make that vision that they had ours personally, and we know why they taught us what they taught, I don't think there will be another generation that will catch the vision. And that's my burden tonight, that we would personally know why. Why do I believe what I believe? Why do I make the choices that I make? Is it simply because it's how I've always done it, it's the easiest thing, it's the expected thing? Or is it because I see things the way God sees them, and my desire is to glorify God and serve Him completely? A couple verses, I think, just to get our minds thinking on this thing of personal vision. Daniel 1, verse 8, just as an example of somebody that had true personal vision. So, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I think we're all familiar with the story of Daniel. Far away from home, by himself. The easiest thing to do would have been to do what the king asked him to do. Don't cause a stir, don't cause a scene. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Tonight, do you have that purpose in your heart? I have purposed in my heart that I will serve God. I don't think when Daniel said this, he had any idea how things were going to turn out. For all he knew, it was going to be death to him. For all he knew, it was going to be a lot of hardship. I think he probably could have kind of known he was special, called, kind of made it to the top of the prisoners. And humanly speaking, you know, thinking about this thing about sight without vision, he could have easily said, well, I don't want to jeopardize this. I'm a lot better off than a lot of people. I guess we'll just kind of go with it. I know it's not ideal, but we'll just kind of go with it and accept things. Daniel purposed in his heart. Tonight, we cannot purpose in our hearts, with God's help, of course. We'll talk about that later. There's no way we will be able to stand. There's no way we will have vision unless we have that purpose in our hearts. A couple other verses. Ephesians 4. Verse 14, just a picture here of somebody without vision, I'm going to say. A picture of them. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, without a clear goal in mind, a clear purpose, that's exactly what describes us. Probably all have met people that, I'm thinking of somebody I know fairly well, loves new ideas, loves trying new things. And he has a lot of good ideas. But maybe not a lot of long-term vision. So this month, this is just the greatest thing. Next month, this is the greatest thing, and what was great this month is good for nothing. And that looks appealing in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things I admire. A lot of things I can learn from watching people like that. And I sometimes wish I was a little more willing to stick my neck out and learn new things. I see that, and yet, you know, you look at that man's farm. It just kind of stays at the same place. It doesn't really grow because he doesn't have a vision for long-term growth. In our spiritual lives, we're tossed to and fro. We don't have a strong, solid relationship with Jesus Christ and a vision of serving him faithfully to the end of time. This is exactly what's going to happen to us. We toss to and fro, this way, that way. We'll get pressure from this side here and pressure from this side there, and we'll just, it's going to be very, very hard to keep serving God faithfully. Unless we make that vision ours, personally. Another verse that kind of goes along with that, that I really like, a couple of verses, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. So that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Might be rooted and grounded. I believe that's what a personal vision, a strong personal commitment, a strong personal vision does for us. As we are rooted and grounded, and we have this purpose in our hearts, that as for me, I want to serve the Lord faithfully. I want to see things the way God sees them. We can be rooted and grounded. And then we start comprehending. It goes on to say then, know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's, I believe, where the true fullness, riches that God has in mind for each one of us to experience is right there. Rooted and grounded. Committed all the way to what God has for us. Then moving on to the thought of developing. So we understand this thing of needing to have a vision, needing to have convictions, needing to know where we stand, what we stand for, that it needs to be a personal thing. But we have these times, I have these times, where maybe I see that and yet I feel like I'm not really there. I don't know, maybe you can't relate to that. I find it that way probably too often in my life. Where I wish I had a more clear vision of what God really has in mind for me and what he wants of me in my life. You know, and I wish, you know, I see people that are serving God faithfully and it seems like they know exactly where they're headed, and I wish that was more that way in my life. What are some steps we can take to make, you know, if you find that in your life or you feel like you just need to strengthen your commitment or your vision, what are some things the Bible teaches that we can do? First one, very, very basic. I believe all of us here tonight have experienced it, but I think it's of utmost importance that this is where we start. Be born again. And that goes without saying, I think, but unless Jesus has touched your life and changed your heart, we can strive and strive and strive for this vision. And we want to see things clearly, we want to see things God's way. And it won't happen. It just will not happen unless Jesus has touched your life. Mark 8, verse 22 through 25. Short little story here. I thought of as... think about this thing of developing personal vision. Story of the blind man came to Jesus for help, and I believe that's where each one of us tonight is. Without Jesus in our life, we are blind. We maybe have a little bit of sight, but no vision. Mark 8 verse 22, it says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. I'm thinking about developing vision. Unless we come to Jesus and ask him to touch my eyes, give me vision, I don't think there's any hope. We're just like this blind man. He had to be led there. He just really couldn't function the way God, well, I was going to say the way God had in mind for him, the way God created most people to function. In our Christian lives, it is that way. Unless Jesus has touched your life, touched your eyes, you cannot be what God has in mind for you to be. Other interesting thing I noticed in this story is to think about developing vision. It doesn't always happen instantly. You know, we tend to be that way, that we like to see things happen and happen right now, right? I prayed for a vision and I want to be there right now. In this story, it took some effort. You know, Jesus touched his eyes and he started growing, we could say. He saw men as trees walking. It wasn't necessarily perfect right away. And Satan loves to throw that out at us sometimes. You know, you prayed for a vision, but you still kind of just see people as trees walking around. It's not all that good. What's the point in really keeping on? And I believe if this man had walked away at that point, I don't think his vision would have ever got any better. But he was willing to let Jesus touch his life again. And all of a sudden things became completely clear. Tonight, if you feel like your vision could be better, you feel like, you know, maybe it's not as clear as it could be, should be. And I think as long as we're here on earth, we will have those times. Don't walk away. Ask Jesus to touch your eyes again. And things will become clear. Thankful for that tonight. Thinking about this thing of having a relationship with God. Matthew 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Unless your heart is cleaned up, unless you're right with God, there's no way you will see God. And if you don't see God, there's no way you will see things the way God sees them. It's a very simple concept, but blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. John 16, 14 and 15. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Talk with the Holy Spirit there. Without the aid of the Holy Spirit to show us, to direct us, there will be very little vision. Without a right relationship with God, there's no Holy Spirit. And I think we all know that in our hearts, but I think it's good to remind ourselves of that. You know, if there's something in my life that's not quite right with God, don't expect to get a lot of vision in your life. Don't expect to be able to make it through faithfully to the end, because that's not how God works. But thankfully tonight, when we let Jesus touch our eyes, let Jesus touch our hearts and heal that, he does. It's not maybe, it's not that he might if he gets around to it. He will touch our lives and hearts and give us vision, and I'm thankful for that tonight. Moving on here, and this kind of goes right along with this thought of being born again. Galatians 2, verse 20. Thought of dying to self. When my eyes are full of me, when my eyes, my vision is full of self, there's no room for God. And tonight, if you know in your heart that really your heart is more full of self than it is of God, don't expect to develop a lot of personal vision. Galatians 2, verse 20, we probably say this one by memory. "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Tonight, if we're going to develop personal vision, it's not going to be me. It's not going to be you that is going to develop that personal vision. If that's how we're approaching this thing of, I want to see more clearly, I want to see things the way God wants to see them, so I want to do this. And I'm going to better myself, I'm going to change myself, and that's how we approach it. Don't expect to get a lot of clarification in your life. It's probably going to get messier rather than better. But as I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. We still have a part to play. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Tonight, I'd just like to bring out that point. We need to die to self completely if we want to see things the way God sees them. Another very simple one that we maybe often don't think of. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Ask for it. Tonight, if you feel like you could be stronger in your convictions, you feel like you could have a much better vision of the future, don't be afraid to simply ask God. So God, please, you work in my life and give me what I need to serve you faithfully to the end of time. Give me what I need to see things the way you see them. And it says, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally. I like that thought. Leave up, you know, so we meet those conditions we already talked about. Completely giving ourselves over to God. Dying to self. Completely giving ourselves all the way. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. God isn't going to give you just a pair of glasses to get through the next little bit. God will give you a vision. Perfect 2020 vision, I believe. As perfect as possible in this life. And you can serve him faithfully. Thankful for that tonight, and it shall be given him. Another thought on developing vision. Be faithful to what you already know. Be faithful to what has been taught to you, to the vision you already have. And I think this is where I often get caught. I would like this great vision of perfect vision. And I would like to just really, really serve God all the way. And yet maybe there's a couple things that I like to hold on to just a little bit that I know aren't really probably the way God would like to see them. When we think of this parable of the talents, you know, in that story, the people that were faithful with what they had were blessed, and they were given more. The one that went and buried what he had, because he didn't know for sure if it was going to turn out right, that was actually taken away from him, and he was worse off in the final end than the start. In our lives, I believe it's very much that way. If we're not faithful to what we already know and serve God to the best of our abilities with what he has shown us so far, there's not a lot of point in asking for a whole lot more. A couple of verses I thought of in relation to that, James 1, verse 22. Thought of being doers and not hearers. Very, very simple thought, and yet one that's easy to miss. So, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall be blessed in his vision, we could say. You know, as we do what we hear, as we do what we already know, then God can bless that, and he will keep giving us what we need to serve him faithfully and keep giving us that vision that we need. A quote I came across that I thought kind of spoke to this by Jim Sorensen. A vision without action is called a daydream. And then he goes on to say, but then again, action without a vision is called a nightmare. Especially that first part. A vision without action is called a daydream. Tonight, if you really, really want vision in your life, but you're not willing put forth the effort to be faithful to what you already know, I think we'd call it a daydream. There's not a lot of future in it. There's not a lot that God can use and make a blessing out of. So let's be faithful to what we already know. A couple real practical ones here. Proverbs 11, verse 14. So where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So keep that verse in mind, and then look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Thinking a bit about the people we associate with, people we interact with a lot, they will make a big difference on how we see life. They just will. Remember that first verse we read in Proverbs, the multitude of counselors, there's safety. When we surround ourselves with God's people, with people that see things the way God sees them, have the same convictions, the same goals we tend to have, maybe not exactly the same, but they're headed the same direction. I believe God has that in mind. Tonight we're talking about personal vision. And we can go off on a tangent there and say, well, I need to figure everything out on my own. I need to, because this is a personal thing. I do not believe that's what the Bible teaches. I do not believe that's what God teaches. There's plenty of verses that teach the beauty of working together with a group of other believers. And that's what that first verse we read brings out. You know, when I go off on my own and try to develop my own vision without the safety of a church, without the safety of a brotherhood, without the safety of associations that believe in God and are willing to help me see things clearly, there's danger, and I will probably fall. It's how God has made us. We need the help of those around us. So tonight, if you want to develop a personal vision that glorifies God, surround yourself with people that are already serving God to the best of their abilities. Multitude of counselors, there is safety. There's a blessing in that. On the other hand, that other verse we read, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. That verse is also very, very true. The people we enjoy spending a lot of time with and spend a lot of time with and get a lot of our advice for life from do not have this vision. Very, very likely that will rub off on us as well. And instead of gaining more personal vision, we're going to end up losing it. It's just how it works. It's the Bible, and it is true. Another one, kind of the last one I have here. What we feed on, what we fill ourselves with, will make a huge difference in what our vision for the future is. Now, there's a lot of material around, whether you read things, whether you hear things, whether you... We already talked about visiting, associating with other people. There's more than ever nowadays. There's a lot of material we can look at. And I believe that can be a blessing. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. But I'd like to just throw out a warning. What you feed on is the kind of vision you will get. Now, just an example of that, I have a news app on my phone that I use some, and I didn't think that much of it. It kind of picked random articles here and there and subjects I was interested in, and it kind of saved me looking for the news I was interested in, and I really enjoyed it. But after a couple of months, I caught on, you know, pretty well every one of those articles. It's definitely slanted a bit, we could say, to the left, right? It was kind of the way whoever picked those articles together always picked that viewpoint on whatever news article, whatever it was. And I caught on that is exactly how I was starting to see the whole world. You know, the whole climate change thing, the whole thing is terrible. Everything is, and everything in that way, you probably know what I'm talking about. What you fill yourself with is how you will see things. So tonight, don't be afraid to spend time with the Bible. It will give you the true vision, the direction you need in your life. Some of these other things we can read, we can listen to, they can help, they can be good. I think it's important we read good things and fill our minds with good things. But if you want to see things the way God sees them, fill yourself with the Word of God. Look to Him. Ask Him to fill your mind when you read and to give you a vision as you read, and it will be a blessing to you. A couple verses here in closing. 2 Peter 1. Starting at verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And then I would like to close with a verse from 1 Corinthians 13. It's a beautiful promise here. As we think about the fact that as much as we desire to serve God faithfully, as much as we desire to catch this personal vision, we are still here on earth. Things are not perfect. But there is, as we are faithful, as we catch that vision and personally and faithfully serve God, there is a time coming when that vision will be perfect. And I'd just like to close with that thought. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Tonight, let's keep on serving God faithfully. Keep on serving God where He has called you. Keep on serving God with the vision He has given you right now, and keep asking Him to keep leading you, and He will bless you. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then shall we see face to face. May God bless each one of you.